Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starcast, with another nice show. And I don't know what this is going on. Bear with me a moment. We have to shut this off. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Another show tonight to begin our new year. But I want to remind everybody of a few things. The new issue of Mystic Living Today is up. And I say this every month, but I think this is probably the biggest issue I've ever put up. I still have stuff coming in from, authors and publishers will say, can I still get something in? And I do them as long as they're sent. It doesn't really matter. People always view it, and I push every article out. So take a look at that, mysticlivingtoday.com. And also, everybody knows I have Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's the other site. And planetstarswithaz.com. But Star Psychics has got some great specials on for people that are brand new. I'm going to tell you about those. We've got 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25. Really good rates. I'm going to run those probably a very long time. But come to the site, at least look. There's a lot of good information there. I do a blog post, so I do lots of posts every day. We do special cards that we draw. Not regular playing cards. These are cards done by Rainbow Rose, and they're beautiful. They're healing, and Darren, my guest, would probably be interested in those before I introduce him. Anyways, if you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 347-838-9736, and with that, I'm going to bring our guest on, Darren Mark. Welcome, Darren. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Darren has done so many things. We talked briefly before the show started. I mean, I've got this list in front of me on my dashboard. You can't believe what he has done. I'm going to start, Darren, by asking you, how did you get started? I mean, what catapulted you into this area that you're in, or the beginning stages of it? I mean, you grew up like a little boy, grew up to a man, but what happened? How did it begin for you?
Well, two things I was always interested in growing up were both spirituality and music, and I was naturally drawn towards both of those, I would say, from a pretty early age. In regards to music, I was drawn towards it as a teenager, even as a preteen. And then in my late teens, I began to move towards an interest in spirituality. And so there was nothing in particular or life shattering that led me in the direction of those two paths. I was just kind of a natural pull towards them. In regards to music, I will say I have a fond memory of being a teenager in junior high school in chorus class, and one of my classmates would play show tunes on the piano, and a lot of people would gather around him to hear him play. And I went home one day and I said, "Mom, I want to take piano lessons so I can be like that kid." And so
awesome.
You might say that was the beginning of my musical journey.
And really kept you going with it, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think usually, you start off, like you said, you're a little boy, not a little boy, but a young boy, and something piques your interest. Not for everybody, though. Sometimes it doesn't come until you're much older, like myself, and then you're thrown into a big world that everything comes at you. But I want to go over some of these things. Now, you're a Reiki master, okay?
Correct.
And you have the support of 9 healing angels to help you. And I want to go into that, but I wanted to also talk about your book. I mean, you've got this Create Your Dream Life Now, and we're going to do that. What kind of songs have you? Let's start with the songs, because that seemed to have started you off. What kind of music did you create? And I know you've done some background music in film and TV, so kind of give us a little idea of what you've done.
Yeah, of course. I'm a singer, an acoustic guitar player, and a piano player. My background is as a singer-songwriter. So when I was a teenager, shortly after I began taking piano lessons, I very quickly began to write what you might label as pop songs and singer-songwriter songs. And as I journeyed onwards, I was in a few different bands. And I was lucky enough to get a lot of original songs that are recorded, placed as background music on TV shows. And in my, I'd say around the age of 30, I kind of stumbled into the practice of bhakti yoga, which is the yoga of love and devotion. And I discovered the practice of kirtan, which is a practice of bhakti yoga, which is call and response singing of mantra music that I really fell in love with. And so now I still write and perform, you know, traditional pop and singer-songwriter kind of blending together of singer-songwriter music with mantra music, and also lead something called kirtan that I just mentioned, which is call and response singing of mantra music. And really, because music is has always been my greatest passion, my greatest love, really everything that I am doing right now, all of my offerings include music in some way, shape, or form. It's really kind of the thing that ties and binds everything together.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know nothing about music. My son played the clarinet, and my late husband played the saxophone, but it was my son that it really excelled. You know what first chair is. So he was first chair in high school, and above, you know, and he was in the ninth grade, and he got first chair. And of course, he was not liked by all the band members, but he was really good. But I think you have to have, and we nudged him to do more. He used to take lessons with the first chair clarinet from the Detroit Symphony. He had lessons with him. We got him, his band instructor, band leader, got him with lessons with him, but that was not his thing. Like for you, it sounded like it was your thing. He kind of drifted, I'm doing a comparison.
It was my thing.
And that happens sometimes, though, you know.
Yeah.
You can be the most talented one, but it's not your love. And
sure.
So it's,
yeah.
Or your passion. And so then you're not going to want to do it. And that's what happened
of
with
course.
Him. He took a lot of lessons. Yeah. But the man made a mistake with him, Darren. He had him go back to the very beginning, and he questioned everything he did because he wanted this young boy to be like him, but he wasn't like him. So he wasn't looking at my son like a protege. He was looking at my son like, okay, this is going to be me, and I'm going to last forever because he's going to play just like me, but it didn't work out that way. So, but that was okay.
Well, it's very important
I'm,
to find the right teacher for the right person.
That's right.
Yep.
And you know what really did him in for a band in school, and I'm only talking this music because you understand music, is that an instructor that led the band, the high school band. He left, and he adored my son. And then another man came in and took over, and the band just kind of fell apart. I mean, they were chewing gum, and so my son lost interest. Right away.
Mm.
Well, they're not taking this seriously. So it was
right.
A shame in a sense. I mean, you know, it just kind of threw him off track. I don't want any of this. He said, I'm not, and he didn't finish in 12th grade. He did not finish band. And he went through all the way through high school, loved it until it changed. And he saw what happened to the band. And he thought, well, they don't care. You know, and then, I don't know if they still do this now, but you would win all kind of medals as a group, as a single player. I mean, he had so much, and, you know, we were so proud of him. But, again, you know, Darren, if it's not something you want to do and you don't have the right teacher who can guide you through the way and love you as a person and allow you to show your talent, not be him, not be a repeat of him, then I think that you're going to really excel at it. And obviously you did. Now, did you ever take lessons? Or did you just, piano?
Like I was saying, I began taking piano lessons when I was maybe around 14, 15, which is pretty late, I guess, to start taking piano lessons. And then I began taking guitar lessons a year or two after that. I remember my first band, I was playing keyboards and singing a little bit. And I remember I was on the side, and I thought to myself, well, I want to be in the front playing guitar. So I began taking guitar lessons.
Ah, okay. See, it pushed you forward, and you stayed with it. You know, I don't know how old you are, but it stayed with you. And it's obviously your passion.
It
it's still
is.
Your passion. Okay, so do you do a lot with Reiki?
I do, yeah. I have a pretty steady clientele of Reiki clients who come by. And
maybe you might explain to the listeners, in case they don't understand what Reiki is. I do, but they might not know what it is. Can you kind
of
just give
yeah,
a little brief description?
Sure, yeah. Reiki stands for Universal Life Force Energy. And it's the energy that flows through all of us and all of creation. It's the energy that sustains us and nurtures us and helps us to maintain a state of well-being. And so when that energy is not flowing freely, we tend to gravitate towards feeling unwell. And energy might not be flowing freely because of, you know, a million different things, but very often it's stress in our own lives or unresolved issues from our childhood that have caused blockages that we're experiencing as adults. And so the high vibration of Reiki helps to kind of get things flowing again in a harmonious manner. And as that happens, naturally one comes back into alignment with a higher state of well-being.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell the listeners that it's not easy to come into alignment. if you're really out of whack, out of sync, if you have a lot of things going on. Now, this mentor that I've had over 20 years, she gave me Reiki 1 and 2, and she said, well, you could go on. And I said, well, Darren, I said to her, well, I don't really see the need for me to do that. She said, well, you can help yourself. I said, but I have you.
She said,
well, I guess you could say that. Mm-hmm. But she said, really, you should do it for yourself. But I only did 2. But it's fascinating. And you get a certificate. And I got one from her, of course. You have to get it. Mm-hmm. And then she's got to get something from her, the first one that she ever has, and he has to sign it or something, or she has to sign it. Yeah, it's very real, is what I want to tell everybody. It is very, very real.
When
you do that, I mean, it's official, very official. So now, you do retreats also?
Yeah, I do host retreats every now and then. The last one I hosted was in upstate New York. I recently relocated from New York City, where I've been living, to Santa Barbara, to the West Coast. So the last retreat I did was in upstate New York at a place called Pumpkin Hollow Retreat Center. And that was a lot of fun. We did yoga and kirtan. It was a really wonderful time.
Yeah, I've never been to a retreat, but I hear they're very uplifting. But
they
I think then
are,
too,
yeah.
You have to go to something like that with an open mind, and not be skeptical, because a lot of people think, oh yeah, really? I'm going to go there, really? You know, but that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. You can receive an awful lot of healing from it, a lot of knowledge from it. Maybe one day I'll get to attend, I don't know. But, you know, again, life takes you in different directions. You have all these things that you want to do, and you are probably listening and thinking, yeah, she's really right. But then all of a sudden you go off into another area, and then you go back to this thing that you really want to do, but you never quite get to be able to do that. And I always feel that things happen for a reason, and it's all divine order, and if you're supposed to do it, you will do it. Somehow you will do it. And even if you kick and stomp all the way, you're going to do it. That's how I believe. I mean, I'm spiritually, that's how I feel. Everything is divine order, and there can be divine intervention. What I want to know, and I'm looking at some of this here, is that when you offer your Reiki, you offer it with the support of 9 healing angels to facilitate transformation for you on all levels. Now, what is that like for you? Explain to the listeners. What is it like to have healing angels with you when you do this? This is when you're giving your Reiki for someone, or when you're teaching someone. When do you use this?
No, that's during a Reiki session. So there's an energy healing modality called integrated energy therapy. And that particular energy healing modality works with 9 healing angels of the human energy field. And each of those angels provides their own unique energy, their own unique frequency that works within specific areas of the body to release what you might experience as dense suppress cellular memory. And then those angels integrate the opposite positive energy. So it's just kind of another, it supports Reiki in sometimes a more powerful, deep healing kind of way.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yep.
It has to be really, make a person feel really good and a very, very good inside. I mean, people are thinking, well, what does this do? It's an overall kind of thing. I mean, you can't really say, well, it's going to make your arm feel better because it is healing, or this or that. But sometimes it encompasses everything that you are, and it all depends on who you're getting the healing from. I know my mentor, I've been very blessed. She's never had to really sit down with me or even on the phone and say, okay, we need to do this. She's never done that. So I feel blessed. That means that I guess I'm not too much out of sync. I don't know. I don't feel. Sometimes I am. We all get like that. But Reiki is a wonderful thing, and if you're interested in it, you can certainly go to a site. And I'm going to mention that to you right now because I have it pulled up. It's called awakenwithdarren.com. And you go to the site, and he's got everything that he does there. He's got these open hands, which is all part of healing. You'll see. It's just a wonderful thing. And then I would like to talk now about this book. It's like a workbook, is it not? It's called Create Your Dream Life Now. I don't have it in front of me, like I mentioned to Darren before. I have the publicist sending it to me, but I have it on the site. And first of all, I always look at the book cover now, Darren. This is what attracts me to a book. Okay? All right. First of all, it is a turquoise. It's a turquoise color. It's turquoise, and it's got Create Your Dream Life Now. It's got some beautiful birds, beautiful print. That's all a print. But it's very, very pretty and easy on the eyes. Now, tell us about this. Now, when I think of a workbook, I think of something that you can write in. Can you write in this book?
You can, yep. In fact, that's what it's meant for, to write in it.
Tell me about it. Like, as if I was looking to buy it, what would I look for?
There are lots of worksheet pages that you work through as you're reading the book.
Okay. And so it's not like a book that you color. It's a book that you write in. But tell
Correct,
us,
exactly,
how do you create your dream life now? How does this begin for somebody who purchases your book and loves what the title is? And a title is very important to me also. But go look at his site, because you're going to see these beautiful, soft colors. And right away I would pick it up and feel it. I feel the book always. And I've told an author this before. And she said, why do you do that? I said, it has to feel good in my hands, or I'm going to put it down and never do anything with it. And so that's for me. But, okay, so you get the book, and then what do you do? I mean, are there things, guidelines that you have to do? Or is there, like, pages that will tell you, well, now we want you to do this and this and this? Just give us an outline of exactly what this workbook is about.
Yeah, of course. So the first section gives one the opportunity to get focused on what their goals are for the present moment. And then we move on to daily spiritual practice. So I introduce people to 7 different meditations, and they get to kind of explore each one on their own to see which ones they resonate with and which ones they don't, because certainly it'd be a lot for somebody to integrate, you know, 7 different meditations into a daily spiritual practice. But once somebody has had the time to explore all of these different meditations, they then have the opportunity to create a daily spiritual practice that incorporates daily rituals and some of the meditations that they've learned in the book.
Okay, so it's got a lot of meditations in it, and the artist was Joan Coleman, and I guess I can only see a little bit of the book on the site, but I imagine that this is about the same as you go through. I mean, the same color scheme, and she must be very spiritual herself, is she?
That's right. She definitely has a spiritual side, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the only way.
We're all spiritual,
even if we don't know it or not. That's my perspective.
Okay. Yeah, because you can tell. I mean, I can tell by just what the cover is like that she has to be some kind of, she has to have a basic understanding at least, because she could never have done this for you. Never.
She was able to tune into the vibration of the material quite well and really create artwork that supported it.
Okay, wow. A lot of stuff here. You've done so much. I mean, I want to cover something else here. I mean, I know this book is the most important thing. Now, when did this book come out? When did this workbook come out? Is it out now?
The book came out in October.
Okay, that's good. Perfect
timing.
It's
only been
out
about 2.5 months.
And you can get it at Amazon, I'm assuming?
Yep, you can get it lots of places. I believe it's online at Amazon. You can get it in the top 100 producing Barnes & Noble. It's going to be in Costco. It should be in Costco this month. So it's all around. You shouldn't have a hard time
finding it. Okay, so basically the workbook is for people to create and realize their dream, in essence, right?
Well, I would say more so it's really about really tuning into the present moment and finding a sense of peace and happiness and joy in the present moment, because everything that happens around us is really a reflection of what's happening within us. So if we can learn how to close our eyes and to still our minds and to access our hearts and to access the peace and the joy that's within us, then we can much more easily go out into the world and start experiencing what we want in the outside world. But it all begins with going within. And so, you know, the title Create Your Dream Life Now can be a little misleading to people, because it kind of infers, like, you know, that this dream life is somewhere ahead in the future. But really the theme of the book is teaching people how to become, you know, present to the now moment. And in this particular now moment, we really, really do have access to an unlimited reservoir of peace and happiness and joy that's within us. And from there, everything can start to flow harmoniously in life.
Now, how long does it usually take people to go through this? And you can do it at your own pace, I'm assuming, of course.
Yep.
But what is usually the time that it takes? Like, you have to say, okay, you need to devote X amount of weeks to do this in the proper way. I mean, is there something like that, or it's just up to the person? Because you could get somebody really who reads really fast.
Well, you could quite easily get through all of the material that's in the book in a week, but it really introduces you to a lifelong practice. So it's not about necessarily, you know, how fast or how slowly you get through the book. It's really about actually integrating the practices into your life so that you're practicing them and experiencing them every day.
Okay, you have a section I see about synchronicity. That's one of my favorites. A lot of people, they don't really understand it. Or no. That's not real. No. Well, you and I happen to know that it is. So maybe you can explain what you feel synchronicity is. I mean, I've done it before. I think if you can understand it, then you'll start to look at your life and say, I get it now. Yeah, okay. How would you explain synchronicity to somebody?
Sure. Well, synchronicity, from my experience, is just being in the right place at the right time to meet whomever you're meant to meet, or to have whatever experience you're meant to have. And it's usually your intention, the intention that's within your heart, that creates the space for that synchronicity to occur. And so it's quite effortless. As long as you're in your heart, as long as you're present, and as long as you have an intention that's in the background of your life, then synchronicity can happen quite easily. But really, you know, what can support it happening easily or more easily for people is just staying nice and relaxed and nice and soft. A lot of people in this current day and age, they're, you know, tend to force and push things, right?
Because
we have these long to-do lists, and so we're always kind of attacking things. But for synchronicity to occur in our lives, we really need to sit back and relax and soften and allow ourselves to receive what it is the universe wants to give us.
And you're talking about that, the way the world is, Darren, this is the time to do this right now, because it's in such turmoil, such chaos. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of stress being put out to us via the televisions, via the radios, and the internet. And this would be a perfect time for you to sit back, and even like when you meditate, which I do every morning, but I have my little chat with God, and then my friend. And so I think it's a good time to do that, and hopefully it'll give you some more balance. I struggle with that a lot of times because I'm online all the time. I'm in that world all the time. I mean, magazine and the other site that I have. So it's not, if I could keep that state from the morning when I have it, oh, I would be just really good to go. I could be like almost walking on air because it's a nice state. It's hard to explain to people. But if you find yourself, and I'm sure you'll agree, if you find yourself stressed about something, or say something's really bothering you and you can feel your heart is beating really fast and maybe you might be hyperventilating and doing all of this, sit down, turn everything off, and quiet your mind. Now, that's going to be tough. It's not going to be that simple. I do it every day. You probably do it every day, so it's not that difficult.
Correct, yeah.
I like to tell people, the more you do, the more you do. And you'll be surprised. The first day might be a little, no, I got to get up and do something. I can't do this. But you'd be surprised after maybe a week or so, you'll sit there a little bit longer. And it'll be so wonderful that you don't want to get up and do anything. That's what happens to me.
That's exactly correct. You know, what the bliss that you can experience in meditation is far beyond, in my experience, any pleasure that you can experience in the outside world. And so it's incredibly important.
You don't really care what's going on. All you do is you like that being, that way you are.
To yourself.
Yeah, right. That's how it is for me. But,
and from my perspective, we have a choice. There's a lot of stuff certainly that's happening around us, but we have a choice as to what we're going to tune into and what we're not. And the most important thing to tune into is your own heart. And the only way to do that, from my experience, is to take as much time out as you need to just sit in silence, to still your mind, and to go within.
I would be a great student for you because you'd say, well, look at her. She doesn't even know we're here. And she's here. No, because, I used to take yoga, but I didn't realize what I was doing. But, you know, my friends would, they kind of giggle, are you awake? And I look at them, will you shut up? I'd tell them to shut up because they didn't get it. But I was breathing different, I guess. Yeah, I was. I was breathing different. So I was already in that state, Darren, only then I didn't know. I didn't know what it was. Of course, as I got older, I figured it out.
You didn't know you were there, but you were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
and the fact that for
today, because, you know, a lot of people, they have difficulty sitting for meditation, but yoga is in itself a meditation. It's a moving meditation. And so for a lot of people, it kind of acts as a gateway to deeper meditation. You observe your breath as you're moving your body.
Right.
And by doing that, you still the mind, and then you can actually sit in meditation. So the best time to meditate, if you are somebody who has difficulty meditating, is after you practice yoga. You know, take a yoga class for a half hour or an hour. And
that's
then
what I took was hatha yoga, and I loved it. Sometimes she would play music, Darren, but a lot of times she would just talk ever so gently. And I didn't do it the first time, but it was like the second class we had. And, I mean, I heard everybody around me, but it wasn't affecting me at all. And that's when somebody poked me, and she says, you know how you're breathing? I mean, I got irritated with her because I thought to myself, you just interrupted what I found. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know.
Sure.
They had no clue, but I knew what I was doing. I mean, I could hear them talking and everything, but I didn't care. I was in this state that was so beautiful.
Real yoga, then you have to be in acceptance and send love to the person who bothered you.
Yes.
As opposed to getting angry.
Well, then, you know, I looked over at her. I'm sure I didn't tell her to shut up. I probably thought it. But then I just went back, and the instructor came over, and she said, now you have to understand what she just did. Could you hear everybody hear her breathing? It was like it was kind of like when a cat gets, if you're around cats, they get this deep breathing that they do. That's what I was doing. Yeah. And
well,
so she pointed it out.
If you
pardon me?
It's called Ujjayi Pranayama, is the type of breathing you are likely doing in your yoga class, and it's when your lips are closed, but you're dragging the air out across the back of your throat as you breathe, and it creates a little oceanic-like sound to the breath as you practice your yoga.
Yes, I think it probably scared my friends, but she pointed me out. She says, if anybody heard her, this is what this is all about. And it was Yoga 1.
It was
the first class.
You were doing it right. If you could hear yourself breathe and somebody next to you could hear yourself breathe, then
yeah,
you were likely breathing correctly.
Awesome. I knew it was something
yeah,
great. Well,
awesome.
I knew it was because I have the ability now. I really don't catch my – I don't breathe like that, but I have the ability to just sit there. I always have my cat with me. He always kind of gets really close to me. And I don't know. I think he's some kind of a little guide for me, I think, from another world. But he's there with me, and, I mean, I don't hear the phone. I don't hear anything. But a lot of times it's just after I talk to God. I have a little chat with him on what I would like and what I'm not happy about, what's going on. You know, we have this little not one-sided discussion on my part. I tell everybody this. Mm-hmm. They know this. And then, of course, my dear friend Maya Moon that passed in February that I was so close to, I talked to her. And then I silence my – then I kind of be quiet, and then I can go into that really easy. I mean, it doesn't take much effort. Had I have gone further with that yoga, I probably was like on a different level of class on the first class because I did it right away. It was just natural for me, you know. It was wonderful. You brought that up for me. I had forgotten all about that. Yeah, yoga
well, now
is
maybe
very
you'll
important.
Be inspired to go back to yoga class.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we have them over here at our YWCA. I don't know how advanced they are, but there's different kinds. You can there's hatha yoga, and then there's another one, right, that you can take?
Well, hatha yoga.
I think there's something else besides hatha yoga,
and really
I don't remember what it is.
Every practice, you know, all of these different types of yoga, physical yoga, they all
yeah.
come from hatha yoga. Hatha is the root. Everything comes from hatha yoga.
Okay. Well, why? I was all for taking the class. I'm so glad I did, and so glad I'm talking to you because now you told me what I did. So many years ago. But it's obviously stayed with me. Something stayed with me because I have that. I can do that very easily.
Wonderful.
And if I can do that, if I could stay in that state and function, nothing would bother me. Nothing. It's hard to explain to people. You know what it's like, Darren, but it lifts you up so high
yeah.
that all these other things that are going on, they're meaningless. They don't mean
exactly.
anything.
The more you practice yoga, the more you meditate.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to do in the lotus position because I can do that really easily. Now, you know I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do that. And see if I can get into that like I used to do. See, you got me interested in this again now. This
okay,
is
yeah,
thing.
Like I was saying, the more you practice yoga and the more you meditate, the higher you raise your level of consciousness, the higher you raise your vibration, and the more peace you experience in every moment of life. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. The only trouble I have is keeping that throughout my day because I have this other thing that I've got going on in my head, and so it kind of it's not conflicting with it. It's very beautiful, but I'm going to try tomorrow. I'm going to be really focused and conscious of what I'm doing, and I'm going to see what happens. I have no appointments tomorrow, so it'll be a little bit easier for me to do it. I think
there you go.
I'm going to sit in my little lotus position, and. And there's a lot of them, everybody. I mean, you're seated almost like an Indian would sit. For some people, it's very uncomfortable. For me, it was easy. But I think I was a natural to do that. I think I had gone to something talking about synchronicity. I think that was part of it for me. As I was, it wasn't for them to take the class. It was for me to take it. for me to do it. And I know the instructor was so pleased. I mean, she kept talking about it. And I kept thinking to myself, what did she hear? What did I do? But I could hear myself. I could hear myself. And it's a wonderful feeling, everyone that's listening. It really, really is. So try to meditate. Try to remove yourself from all this outside stuff that's going on. Because for one thing, you can't control what's going on all over the world. I wish I could. I would. But you can't. So don't worry about the things you can't change. But you have to be a certain way to do things, to meditate and feel your one and feel your level. That takes a lot of work, Darren. It's not that simple. To be spiritual
easy. It doesn't take a lot of work. It just takes commitment to your practice.
Right, and I guess it's doing it over and over again.
Meaning that you have to be diligent about practicing on a daily basis, and if you are committed to your practice and you meditate for at least 20 minutes every morning when you get up and at least 20 minutes every night before you go to bed, and you do it every day, then you will notice a drastic change in your life over time.
You know what? I've never done that at night. Maybe I should do it both. I always do it in the morning, but I've never considered doing it in the evening. Maybe I should start doing that as well.
Yeah, well, everybody's different. You know, everybody has a time that works for them.
Right.
Personally speaking, I feel like the best time to meditate is the moment you get up, right? The mind has a tendency to want to do a million different things. So I encourage people the moment they get up to go right into their meditation chair or onto their meditation cushion and spend at least 20 minutes, if not longer.
Right.
If you can do 30, that's even better, in meditation. And begin your day like that and your entire day will be different. Because you made that choice.
And you'll be almost like not mesmerized, but it just gives you this feeling. It's an empowerment kind of thing. It really, but I think because of what I do, I think I have to probably do it in the morning and in the evening. Maybe not as long in the evening. But it's really, I'm by myself. I just have my wonderful little big cat with me. And, I just call him, come on, Mushy. His name is Mushy. He goes and sits on the arm of the couch, and I sit back, and I make sure that I'm nice and warm and cozy. And I close my eyes, and that's all I need. And I shut out everything else. Yeah, and I shut
there
out. And really, if everybody would do that, it would really help their state of mind. And they wouldn't go, throw tantrums and be under all this stress. It helps a lot with stress. Well,
it certainly does.
We really talked a lot about yoga. You just sparked that interest in me again. Now I know what I'm going to do here. Now, you have written for, you wrote for something called the LA Yoga Magazine. Are you still doing that?
I'm not right now, but I have done some freelance writing for LA Yoga Magazine and for another magazine called For Your Life Magazine. And that was when I was teaching yoga. I wrote some articles about the practice of yoga.
Now, do you do, I think I have something here in my notes about that you actually, you have class, that's when you were in New York. You're out in California now, right?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, so when you were out in New York, you were at the New York Health and Racket Club and you were offering yoga there.
Right.
Now, do you offer yoga classes in a facility out in California?
No, I'm not teaching yoga right now, nope. I'm just enjoying my own personal practice.
Well, sometimes it's good because, when you give a class like that, you give of yourself. And sometimes it's a lot more than you should. And every time, every once in a while, it's time to step back. I've been doing that because I'm on the computer. I can't even tell you how many hours. But now what I do is I back away. I'm in South Carolina. The weather has been like 75 here. I can
go
sit outside on my porch. And I could meditate out there easily. It's so quiet and calm, and peaceful. If it stays like this tomorrow, which is supposed to, I probably will do that. Now you're going to have me on a mission now, Darren. I'm going to be doing this all the time, which is good because it's good for your state of mind.
And everybody out there to take at least, I know this sounds like it might be very challenging, but to take a day out of the week, or if you can't do a full day, at least, 6 hours, or if you can't do that, 4 or 5 hours, but a chunk of time when you are just completely disconnected to technology.
Right.
Because again, when
you know, I have
a
magazine
focused,
and I have my Stars, and then I have the other one, and then I have. Yeah, it really is. And somebody said to me, "Well, where are you?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I'm sitting doing nothing. I'll tell them I'm one of my
That's
gals is listening. I'm resting my mind because." You know, you get overload. For everything that I do, I have three, everybody knows I have three monitors, three big monitors, so you know I do a lot of work. I have to do it for me. I have to back away.
Sure.
And that's when I do my, you could call it daydreaming, but everybody knows I'm working on a fairy tale, and I am working on it. And that's where some ideas come in, is when I'm sitting there away from the computer, and I just have it all in my head. And you can really do a lot that way. I've been doing it probably for a week now. I've been trying to just, because it was too much. You know, you can't, it's not good to be in front of this all the time. Technology is wonderful, but you look at people and all they do is look down at their cell phones. Now, that's pitiful.
Creativity,
you need to take
flourishes in an open space of receptivity rather than when you're fully engaged in the world.
You know, and people will do that. They'll just, that's all they do, that, you know, and they're missing so many things around them. You know, just, it really, really, it's amazing. But I watch people and I think, oh, my God, look at the, even in a grocery store, they're always looking down at their phone. I only use mine if I'm trying to find my son, if he's in another place, or, you know, I put it on silent. And it vibrates a little bit, but it's in my purse, and I don't even answer it. Because
my perspective,
I like to walk through there.
Technology was meant to be used as sparingly as possible.
Well, yeah, but most people don't do that. They don't understand it. They
really
don't realize what they're...
Yeah,
and I do. What it's doing to you, it's just way too much. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
It really is wonderful stuff. You can reach anybody at a moment, which I like that part. But you need to give yourself time to, you know, start to read a book, do something, draw if you're an artist or you're a wannabe artist or something, do something that
exactly.
I've also been thinking of, you know what, when I saw your book and it said four-color book, I thought of coloring. A lot of people have been coloring, you know, the black and white pictures and they'll take the pencils. But I have, and I think I mentioned this last week, I have the limited edition of all the Crayola crayons. And I've thought about taking them out and coloring. Because I used to always love to color, not when I was a little girl because I didn't have those kinds of crayons. My mother never bought them for me, so I had a friend that bought every year. She says, well, your mother didn't do this? Well, I'm going to do this. And every year, Darren, I get this beautiful commemorative issue of Crayola crayons right from them, and she gave it to me as a gift, and I have all of them, and I was looking
sweet
at them yesterday. It really is sweet. And, you know, they never melt, everybody. Crayola crayons do not melt. And I'm in South Carolina, and it gets mighty hot down here, and they don't melt. They don't get soft.
Well, you can
they
do
don't,
some coloring
just,
right after this show.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a blog post to do and still people want to put stuff in my magazine. But, you know, I'm not like I used to be where I felt that it all had to be done. You know, I did most of it. I was up till like 3:30 on New Year's Eve in the morning, the next morning, because I had so much. And then yesterday I had more. And then I have some, maybe five or six things I have to put in. But I don't put pressure on myself like that anymore. I don't
That's
do that
true.
Anymore. I got a little smarter, I guess, because it's too stressful.
Yep,
you know,
you
it really, really is.
Because
they all get promoted anyways because I do it. And so nobody's going to miss a beat. But, you know, either today or tomorrow, I'm going to drag down those boxes. And some of them, though, I cannot open because they're special boxes. Little wooden boxes that Crayola made. Oh, my gosh. I should put these on Instagram. Everybody could see them. They would probably die. Oh, my God, where did she get all those? because they're really beautiful. They're really beautiful. Okay, so that's why I thought about coloring, because I saw it said a four-color book. Now, what does it mean, a four-color? It's designated like pink, blue, green, what?
No, It's just designated for the printing process. It's a lot more than four colors. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what exactly that means in the printing world. But I think it means like there are four major colors from which all the other colors come from. Something like that. Yeah.
And this will help you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. This will help you manifest, learn how to do that. That's something
It certainly will, but, you know, from my experience and what's really most important about the book is that you find the sense of peace and the sense of calm and the sense of joy and a sense of bliss that is always within you simply because you are you. And the only way to
And you're
to
unique,
discover
and there
that,
isn't anybody else like you in the world.
But that's true as well, yeah.
And that's really true.
The only
true.
Way to do that is
yeah.
to disconnect, to go within. And once you do that, once you start to cultivate the peace and the love and the joy that's within you, then you can start creating your masterpiece in the outside world. But it's got to come from within.
Yeah, and you got to do it at a steady pace. You got to be continuous with it. You can't do a hit and a miss. And I think I'm gearing towards that. I think I was allowing my work to take over my whole life, and you know, and something I don't know if I heard it or what, but it's almost like, you know, if you are being ready for something or someone, you have to be prepared. And to be prepared,
sure.
you have to be ready, because it could come at any moment's notice, but you have to be ready yourself, and the universe, God, the divine, will know she's ready for this right now. So now we can release
yep.
it. Here you go, Natalie. Here it is. And I have some
there
wonderful things in my head, and it's the same thing like with the book, the little fairy tale. It's like, not a golden book, but it could be a golden book. It's for kids and even grown-ups. It's just a story to show people that you need to believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And that's how I always end my show. But it's the truth to me. It's very important to me. And but I think, you know, maybe I can start doing that by backing away from what I'm doing. I'm still, you know, everybody can still reach me. I mean, I've got my cell phone, but I really turn it down. But I don't even have it on in the morning. That's why morning meditation is perfect for me. Nobody even knows I'm on, but I am.
Yep, it's the best
but
time.
I'm not. That's the best time for me, I
and
think.
There's something really wonderful,
is,
too, if you start getting up earlier than you normally do. And it's really quiet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of open space and a lot of possibility that is present in the early in the morning that you can tune into before you begin your day.
I can't wait to get this workbook. Now, I'm sure she put it in the mail today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And because I'm so excited about it, and it's got a lot of good stuff in here that's going to really help. And people really should get out and get it. I mean, I don't know what it costs, but can we get it? Can somebody get it through your site, or do they have to go to Amazon?
No, you can get it on Amazon.
Okay. All right, we'll go to Amazon.
Yep.
And it is
mobile,
called?
It's online at a lot of different places. So if you don't want to purchase on Amazon, you can just Google the name of the book, and it'll come up for you.
Right. Create Your Dream Life Now. It seems to me like it helps people to get more visual. And I think when you start doing something like this, it's a focus, it's a focal point for you, and you'll be able to use it and practice. And you can write in it. There's like, I'm assuming some pages where you can actually write in it. You can write in anything you want.
Like,
I mean,
like we're talking about,
just because
Darren
doesn't have pages there for you doesn't mean you can't write. You know, the sky is the limit. Just go take it as far as you can and as high as you can, and let things happen for you. Let all these wonderful, beautiful things happen for you. I know we're not quite – well, we got 10 more minutes to go. I mean, what's up and coming with you? I mean, you have anything – are you going to – any teaching you're going to do? I mean, what are your days like right now when you're not writing a book or singing or playing some
– Well, this weekend, actually – hosting an event here in Santa Barbara. It's a gathering called A Journey of the Heart, a cacao ceremony and sacred song circle where we gather together in community and we do some call and response singing and some meditation and some sharing. So it's a really sweet gathering that I'll be facilitating here in Santa Barbara this weekend.
Now, tell me something. How do your, I'm assuming they, your parents, how do they feel about what you do?
How do my parents feel about what I do? They're supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're supportive?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they kind of, you're not saying very much, so it means that they, do they wonder, well, why is he doing this? Why?
No,
you know,
no, not
sometimes when
they're
somebody,
they're very supportive of the work I do.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. You,
yeah.
Some,
yeah,
they should all be supportive.
Question.
You're a wonderful person, and I can hear it in your voice, and I can tell by the work that you've done and how giving you are, and the understanding that you have of what is needed to do to be a more spiritual kind of person. But like I've told people before, being spiritual is not easy. You're going to be thrown whammies. I know I have been, where I actually doubt, and then I'll talk to God the next day, and I'll say, you know what? I don't even think you hear me.
Well, I will leave you with this before I sign off, which is that you don't really have to try to be spiritual. We're all already spiritual.
Yeah, we are.
All you have to do is remember who you are. You don't even have to discover it. It's just remembering. You already are.
And don't question
are.
It.
Yep,
yeah.
You just have to allow yourself to be who you are and allow yourself to find out who it is you really are on a spiritual level, on a soul level.
Well, talk
so
about
I really appreciate
I
your, you know, really appreciate your, you having me on your show. It was really wonderful.
Oh,
and
I
hope
appreciate
all your
being
listeners
on my show.
Out there
I
have
mean,
a wonderful week and a wonderful weekend.
Yes, absolutely. And we're in the new year, so that means new things, good things, 2019. And I wish you all kinds of good luck with your book, and I'm anxious to
thank
get it.
Thank you so much.
And as soon as I get it from Kim, I'm going to have her let you know that I got it. So
wonderful.
You can be happy about that. Yay,
I hope
you got it.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
I will. And thank you again, Darren, for being my guest tonight.
You got it.
And with
thank
every
you.
Everybody that's listening, we're going to turn this radio show off. But as I always say to everybody, you know, we'll see you next week, same time, same station. On Wednesday from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time, and believe in things that you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I'll say good night. Good night.